so kind to stand and turn with me to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter 2. Very quickly, before we begin our service, I want to mention that gym night at Kalmanitsa is this coming Friday night. We have our bowling night Saturday, January 26th. It's for Impact Youth, 12 years old and up. And if anybody wants a Bible today, I'm sure that the beer back there can get you one, hand you one. Other than that, if we're all ready, Book of Revelation, chapter 2, and we're going to begin our reading at verse number 7. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Verse number 11. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Verse number 17. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." Verse number 29. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Revelation chapter 3, verse number 5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Verse number 20, the same chapter 3 of Revelation. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open that door, I'll come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." And finally, this afternoon in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 28. The book of Isaiah, chapter 28, and verse number 12. "To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." Jesus, we love you, and we are so thankful today for being in your presence. We worshiped you in song, and God, we felt your presence move so strong. And now, God, we pray that you open up our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what it is that you have for us, God. We give you praise and glory. You are that great, that almighty, and that mighty God, and we praise you, Jesus, in that matchless and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message that I have titled, "The Voice of God." The Voice of God. Everybody's got a voice. Everybody can hear your voice unless you're impaired in some way. Everybody likes to talk or speak, and sometimes it's a very strong, forth voice, and sometimes it's a quiet voice. But God, too, speaks to his people in that same manner. Sometimes it's like a trumpet, and he comes out and God speaks. And at other times, it's that still, small voice in the quietness of your room or in your home and even in the church. In the book of Revelation, it is the Apostle John who begins his writing by penning the words as were spoken unto him by the Lord. In the first three chapters, of the book of Revelation, it was Jesus Christ who, by the hand of John, who speaks to the seven churches in Asia. He says to them, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. That's Revelation 1:11. The words that Jesus spoke unto John are words that he, Jesus Christ, continues to speak to his church in the end times. It is the end times, ladies and gentlemen, that we are today living in. Is Jesus Christ, who unto this day is he who continuously calls out to the whosoever will. He's not selective. He doesn't care what your family background is. He doesn't care where you come from, who you are. Doesn't care about your color. Doesn't care about your creed. Doesn't care about your background. The Bible says he calls forth to the whosoever will to come and take of the water of life freely. In a quick recap of Revelations chapters 1 through 3, it is you who will be the one who comes to find that both a likeness and a similarity of the churches in John's day to that of the many churches that are in existence in our day. I want to tell you something. People back then were just like people are today. We might be different in our culture, in our technologies and things, but people are people. And so the message that leaps off the pages of the book of Revelation is the fact that God is speaking. You ever been in a conference hall or a meeting of some form, and you have the guest speaker or the manager or who's in charge of doing the talking? When they talk, what does everybody do? They sit back and they listen, and hopefully they absorb what it is that is being spoken to them in that conference room, in that business meeting, or in that particular place that they are. But in this particular time, it is God, and he writes unto the seven churches. God speaking, and he comes forth, and he tells different things about the different churches which are in Asia. And he says, I want you to write these things and then send it to them. I want them to know that I am the one speaking. In John's address, he begins in chapter 2 of verse 7, the book of Revelation, where he says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 11, he writes again, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Then in second chapter, in the 17th verse, we read this today, to him that overcometh will I give to eat the hidden manna, which... And will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Revelation 3:5, he tells John, and he records, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Sometimes, you know, you think about it, some things need to be repeated. Sometimes we need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to look inside of ourselves and understand, why is he saying these things? How come he is repeating himself? I'll tell you, primarily I think it's because people a lot of times miss it. Maybe the baby bugs you and you look away and that word went out and you look over to your husband, or maybe it was the husband taking care of the child, and so you look at your wife and say, what did he say? And so here we have God speaking to the churches, and he tells John what to write, and he repeats himself again and again. But the question that may be asked, what are these words that are written? What is it that God is trying to portray or to project or to get across to his people? I want you to know that these are words that are spoken by John, by God, to a people that God loves. God loves his creation. We are his creation. I want you to tell them what I have said for you to tell them. Get the message across to them. The reason that the Lord told John to write these words was because of his desire to both warn and then to exhort us as his people, and to all those who would give their ears in order to hear the literal voice of God. You ever been in a conversation sometimes, and maybe there's a group of you sitting there, and so suddenly somebody says, did you just hear what he said? Oh, no, I think I missed it. What did he say? You didn't hear what he said? I heard every word. I think he was talking to me. Sorry, I think I missed it. If you want to hear the voice of God, ladies and gentlemen, you will. You don't want to hear the voice of God? You can do what I used to do sometimes as a child, of course, behind closed doors, because my mom would discipline me sternly if I did. I used to go, la, 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 la. I didn't want to hear it. People today, I'm telling you, even sinners at times, oh, prove that one. Sinners hear the voice of God. You know how they hear the voice of God? I heard the voice of God sitting in a movie theater well before I repented of my sins, before I was baptized in Jesus' name, and before I got the gift of the Holy Ghost. He was already working on me. He was convicting me. And I'll be honest, I didn't even know what conviction was. I started feeling bad about some of the things. Went into a nightclub. I won't get too far into that when we got young people here. Went into a nightclub, and we were sitting there at the wrong time of day, at the wrong hour when the lights would have gone down. And I'll tell you what I did. I turned around, and I told my brother-in-law that was with me, let's get out of here. What do you mean? Let's just hang around. It's about half an hour here. I said, no, I'm out of here. You're either coming with me, or I'm leaving. Oh, no, you need the Holy Ghost for God to talk to you. That doesn't happen in a sinner's life. Oh, yes, it did. And to his utter shame and embarrassment, and to mine, absolutely couldn't believe what they're about to do, I got out of there. I listened. And God will talk to whoever is willing to listen. So Jesus Christ, God become flesh, spoke these words in hopes that those who in their lives would give heed to them would make the choice in their lives to become a part of God's church. Jesus spoke these words unto John so that we or they'd be able to understand just what it was that lied ahead, as it was we who in our lives would seek to hold on to the words which he, God, spoke to John. The Bible talks about the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. There's going to come a time when people will walk further into darkness, while those that don't want to go that way will draw themselves closer to the light. And so when God tells me about his promises, or he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread, I want to hang on to those when times when I was broke as a church mouse and I got not 50 cents in my bank and I don't know what to do or where food's going to come from or how I'm going to get the car to the work that's 7 miles away in the morning. I want to believe that God is going to provide. I want to hang on to that word. And so here we have God speaking and the people that want to retain it saying, I want to listen to his warning. I want to receive his exhortation and I want to live for God. See, ever since the days of the apostles and ever since the days of the prophet, God has not ceased in calling out to all of humanity. You ever tried that sometime? Go to the grocery store, maybe at your workplace or in the gas station. Say, hey, do you go to church?
No. Why?
Well, I was going to invite you to church.
Why?
we're having these good services, you know, and God's really moving. And I think God can do something in your life. Well, I'm going to a party at Jake's house on Saturday night, so I don't think it'll be in any form. I'm trying to talk to you. God reaches to them. You want me? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Learn of me. My yoke's easy. My burden's light. Come on. No. I'm not going where you want. And there's others saying, I want this. I want this. You know, it was really kind of cool. The gentleman's dead now. His name was Randy McNeil, and his brother was Barry McNeil. This is years. This is probably about 6 months before myself and my lovely wife came into the church in 1982. But here it was, sitting around a table, and Randy had a mind for mystery and revelation. He just thought things were really cool, and he dug into that word of God when he finally got into the church. But they're sitting around, and this is all that was said. Barry says to his brother Randy, he says, hey, Randy, it's going to happen. in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Do you want to come? And that was enough to spike the guns in Randy's heart. I have got to find what is going to happen in this moment in the twinkling of an eye. Said in another conversation, in another circumstance or situation or surrounding, people might go, ha, no. But it's the voice of God that cries out to you and I. He cries out to the preached word. God calls out, offering to those who choose to hear. He offers comfort to the troubled minds. God offers direction to those who are seeking. It's Jesus Christ who, through his word and through his voice, as well as through the voices of his messengers, who offers hope, help, and not a just select few. But one more time, let me reiterate to the whosoever will. I'm not talking to the guys over here. No, they don't need it. I'm talking to the guys in the middle, because over there, they're busy and being busied about. No, it's whoever wants to hear. He's talking to all of us. All you got to do is stop and say, I'm listening. You ever have your wife? This is just an interjected point. I get in trouble all the time. You ever have your wife go, are you listening to me? You know what I do sometimes? I do. And so she's very kind. She's a gentle lady and very, very sweet. Yes, you are. Yes, and so she sends me these things called the honey-do list. Sometimes, no matter if it's honey do or honey don't, they don't get done. Or I just go, I sent you that. Did you not get that? What would you send me? You're just skating the questions. Oh, so, well, that was a side thing. But anyhow, God will talk to anybody who's willing to listen to him. You give him your ear, and he'll sit down with you. And he'll discuss with you, and he'll prick your heart, and he'll put a persuasion into your mind, and he will move you in the direction of his will. Through the words of Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, you'll find where Peter writes, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." So in any one of our life circumstances, it is the voice of God that will and that does speak to you. But the question, the only question that remains for you to answer in your life is whether or not you will or are you willing to listen and to hearken to his voice. Now, can I throw something out there? I've been in the church 36 years now, and I don't know everything, but I know enough to get around. Is there anybody in the house today that, you know, maybe just wave your hands for some of us, you know, spiritual guys, to let us know that you have heard the voice of God speak to you when you're about to do something like a no-no, and this voice speaks to you to tell you not to do it, and maybe you looked the other way, and you did it anyhow. Okay, we got honest people in the house today. Yeah, there's sometimes God speaks, and he says, don't do that. Who are you telling don't? Or we have a young man now in the church. He's just growing up. He's just 2 years old. And his favorite word is no. Are you going to behave? No. Do you want a spanking? Yes. Do you want? No. No. He talks to us. He speaks to us. Yeah. But am I willing to listen to his voice? Paul writes in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18. Good scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. This is what he says. Listen to this. You think we're goofy and crazy? Yeah, I've lost my mind, got the mind of Christ, but you think we're crazy up here? You better believe it. I've lost my mind and have the mind of Christ. The Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God." Wow, we came out of that service. And did God move? I mean, that was one of them powerful services where, you know, God just gushed right under the fifth, right in a kidney shot, you know? And wow, that was, man, I'm 10 feet taller than I used to be. Sometimes we get 10 feet wider than we should be. Anyhow, but this is New Year's. But he speaks, and it is powerful. When people leave that church service, maybe it was the first one, they're going,
what?
That was silly. I didn't get one word that he said.
Hang around for a while, you will.
So when seeking direction for your life, what I'm saying to you this afternoon is, if you'd only give your ear to the voice of God, if only you would stop long enough in your life circumstance,
yep,
to listen. I declare to you this day that it is then that you, my friend, would hear, as it is the voice of God that calls out to you in a reply. I've done this. What am I going to do now? I don't know what to do now. I need an answer. Excuse me. Would you be quiet? I'm trying to talk. Oh, wait a minute. That was God. Sorry. Go ahead. When you call out to him and you're willing, he'll reach you. He'll speak to you. I've heard people say, and they don't even have to be pastors and preachers. They're just saints of God. So we all are saints of God. But you know what? God spoke to me last night. God woke me up. I had a lady that let my wife and I know that God woke her up, and she prayed for us. I think it was a couple of hours. I prayed for you, Pastor, and for Sister Zotzman. Man, the Holy Ghost just took off down my backbone. It was like shivers. Can I say something? Thank you very much for listening. Yeah. Who knows what you held off? Who knows what you stopped? Oh, but you were sleeping. Who knows what was in your mind or your dreams? Who knows what kind of a warfare you were fighting? But you stopped. You prayed. Why did you do that? Because you had too many Twinkies? No, honey. God spoke to you and you responded. Thank you. And the same goes for every one of us. If somebody pops into your mind, you're sitting there having a taco. I don't care if you're eating a hot dog or you backslid and went to McDonald's. Whatever you're doing, if God speaks to you and says, stop right now here and pray for, please. Can I throw out an exhortation? Please listen and respond. Wow. It is a voice of God that cries out, ready? Yeah. It's a bad word today's society. God cries out, trust me. Believe in me. God says, follow after me. And if you do, it is I as your God who will direct the paths of your life towards that final destiny in eternity of your soul to be one where you are with me. Give heed unto my words this day. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. I don't know where my life is going. I don't know what to do in this situation of my life. I cannot see where this road is taking me. Your answer is to stop and to take heed when God speaks to you. If it is then that voice of God speaking to you, one more time, listen. I could have saved a lot of years and foolish grief in my young Christian walk with God if I'd have just listened. Can I be bad today?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Anyhow, I remember. You know what I remember? I was just a young man. I was 23, 4 years old. And now I'm old. So I was young and all. And my pastor would come up and say, that's not a good idea. You should not... You need to stop that. Here's the bad stuff. Who is he anyhow? Who does he really think that he is? I never rebelled against him. But in some senses, while you're telling me you need to smarten up your attitude, behave yourself, and straighten up. La, 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 la. Now, if I'd have done that, my first pastor, I probably would have been across the room, and it wouldn't have been the Spirit that moved me. Anyhow, because he would have taken that kind of direct rebellion. But I used to think, what does Pastor know? Hopefully, Pastor is the voice of God for the church, and he is not God, but hopefully God is speaking to him, and so the counsel and the direction that he gives, I pray, will get me to the place where I become closer with God, to God, and that his advice keeps me out of a whole lot of trouble. And many times I thought, well, I think I know better, and I wished I would have listened when the result came. Okay? In the book of Samuel chapter 3, we come upon a time, Samuel chapter 3, when the Lord called out to Samuel as a boy. And the point I want to make to you this afternoon is your age, your gender, your position, nor that of your background, etc., is that which does not dictate to you, pardon me, whether or not God will speak to you. I don't care who you are. Let's quote scripture here. Okay, he used a donkey to talk to the prophet. I hope there's no donkeys here. But anyhow, it doesn't matter who you are. God will speak to you. Listen, you little twip. You're 9 years old. Maybe daddy, mommy, friend, maybe you should listen. The fact is whether or not it'll be you in such times will listen to that voice of God when he calls. So here we go. Just as it was with Samuel, as Eli the priest had instructed him, after hearing the voice a few times, coming to Eli, yes, what do you want, Lord? What do you want? Oh. Eli said, okay, here it comes, church. The next time you hear God speak, I want you to reply like this. Speak, for thy servant heareth. What I'm saying is the voice of God in your life will speak to you. God at times will speak to you in your everyday life. God will often be the one who calls out to you in your times of need. But whether or not you learn the art of being both sensitive to the listening and to God's voice is another thing altogether. Now, husbands think that they know everything and the wives are the lesser part. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of times that the wives could be a whole lot wiser if us crazy, foolish husbands would slow down and listen to your wife. You might avoid some trouble. And my second pastor used to accuse me, Brother Simmons, he used to say to me, you wear your clothes out from on the inside. I'm going to fix that and fix it now. I wouldn't go and do that. And so my wife would go, I don't think that, you know, pick your battles. That's what Pastor Simmons used to say. Pick your battles. And so my wife at times, whenever she wanted to eloquate her wisdom and great in-depthness to faith and promise, says, why don't you pick your battle? Why don't you pick your battle? And I've done it. I've gone on saying, I don't have to listen to you. Hey, listen, I am the head of this house, and I can stand in this bed as long as I want. And I go off to do, right over your heads. Anyhow, and I go and I do what I want. And then repercussions. And I'm going, I guess I should not have done that. I should have listened. Yeah. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So how does God speak? That's really, I want to know today. God often speaks to us in the form of an intuition. That's a kind of a feeling or a sense or a kind of an instinct. Maybe that isn't the right thing to do. God speaks to us as people at times by planting an idea or a thought pattern into our minds. Yeah, you know what? I never thought of it that way. Good idea. That's how God speaks to you. It's been said that the voice of God speaks to his people in dreams. Your young man shall dream dreams. Your old man shall see visions. I have gendered quite greatly to hang on to the dreams. Any of you that are old, you can have the... yeah. Anyhow, next. He's talked to us in dreams. God speaks to you through others. I already said that. There have been those times when God can choose to speak through you, and I mean, I've heard this happen. Several times. I'd be terrified if it was me, but he speaks audibly. There is one time, I do believe, I was as sinful and a far from God as the world could go in my life. I'll just cap it. It's not worth your time. But anyhow, I'd left a relationship that I was in for 3 years, and she went off over the cuckoo's nest and left, and I'm driving down the freeway, and I'm crying and feeling I've just now been utterly destroyed. I was 19 years old, and I thought, life is done and life is over, and so I hit the gas, and I flew as fast as I can. I'm going down the freeway just outside of Grandview Highway area on the main highway, and I'm just bombing, and I shut my eyes. The tears are filling my eyes, and this voice said, "Stop!" Just like that. Right in my car. You know what I did? And I was heading towards this little side of overpass, had that kind of cement thing coming down. I was heading right at it, and I hit the brakes, and I grabbed the wheel, and I pulled it over. And I know you have got lots to talk about God for, because that's why I'm here today. Yeah, thanks a lot. No, anyhow, better not say that. But I listened. He got my attention. And I'll tell you, as much as my memory goes back, and that's a long time ago, it's almost 40 years ago, but he yelled the word in my car all alone, "Stop!" I listened. But in these times, it's God who calls out to you, possibly, again, here it is, yes, to warn you or to bring you comfort. God's desire is to direct you, to reach out to you, many times through the preacher and through the preached word. It's the voice of God that calls out to you, the voice that says, "I want to protect you. I want to guide your pathway of your life. Don't go that way. That's darkness and death. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. I'll give you life, and in that life, it'll be more abundantly." In the Old Testament, it was Moses who listened to the voice of God. King David listened to God many times as God spoke to him. And the 12 disciples in the New Testament, they each listened as it was Jesus who called for them to follow after him. In the epistles, it was Saul, who later became known as Paul, who listened to the voice of God. Cornelius, the devout religious guy, he listened to the voice of God. Peter, the apostle, listened to the voice of God. And I'm asking each of you this day, when it's your time, when your time comes, will you be the one to listen to the voice of God? It's easy to say, "I love you, God," until temptation comes my way. Mm-hmm. It's easy to say, I'll listen. Can I be human? What do you mean I am human? Okay, well, I guess I'm human. I didn't want to hear that. Come on, you guys. Anybody come to you, even as a young child? You stop that right now. "I don't want to hear that. You know what Pastor told me today?" I'm going to tell you. Yeah. In the book of Revelation, as we read this afternoon, chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus declares, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Come on in. You know what I said today? You might think, "Pastor, you're nuts. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, he is here." I said, "God, you are welcome here, and you are wanted here. I want you in my house. That's my sanctuary. I want you in the church, which is our safe haven. I want you in my life to keep me from the perils of this world." Overall, what it is that I'm trying to say to you this afternoon is God's desire is to reach you. I want to get to reach you, to talk to you. God's desire is to bless you through his words. God's desire is to bring you salvation and salvation to the lost. And God's desire is to answer your questions. God wants to fill the void that lies within your soul. But again and again, the question that stands to be answered within your soul is the fact that whether or not when he speaks to you, are you going to give heed to his voice? Are you going to turn and walk away even today? Jesus, in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, addressed the church and the people who would be they who would live in the end times, and he declared, "This people's heart is wax gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I'd heal them. That's end times, honey. Wow, have the tables turned in our world. We're living in and amongst a generation of people who have covered their ears, who have closed their minds to both the calling as well as the voice of God, and people both in and outside of the church today, every day, are failing to hear the voice of God as it cries out to them. I've heard this said, and I've said it myself, I wish God would talk to me. I have taken this whole 30 plus minutes today to talk to you. What am I trying to say? I want you to listen to me. People have closed their eyes. They've shut their mind, and yet we cry out, I just want to hear you speak to me. To the church, God speaks and offers to reveal the entrance to the door that will lead them to the outpouring of the abundant blessings. God, through his word and through his voice of his messengers, is he who calls out, seeking to guide we as a people beside the still waters. To those who come searching, to those who come hungry for the things of God, to those of you this day who came seeking to discover what it is that God is offering to you today, I want you to know that the voice of God right here and right now is calling for you to give him your ear. So you and your life would be able to hear what it is that the Spirit says to the church. I'm a goldfish in a bowl. I'm spiraling out of control. I'm in a whirlpool, and my life is a mess. Then hear the voice of God. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Weary. So the point of this message to you today lies in the fact that the Spirit of God and the voice of God through the messengers is one who's come to tell you how to find that door that will lead you to where you can find that rest and that refreshing for your soul. Drugs don't do it. Alcohol definitely won't do it. Cigarettes and addictions, they don't do it. They don't fill that void. You're still ugly and empty. I'll make very short of this because I don't want to give the devil any kind of glory. But I got out in the world as a young man, and I was intoxicated, but I sobered up and felt sicker than a dog. I went out in the world of drugs, and I went into these utopias, pieces of garbage, and I floated up there, but I tell you, when I landed, I crashed. They didn't fill it. They didn't fix it. And that's why many people today, they keep running back to the same thing that kept them addicted and kept them in their prisons. But even today, that which lies no further than the voice of God, at a moment in your life, it is and has been tugging on your soul. See, God's been telling you, come on, come here. Come to my service. Walk into my presence. I want to fill you with the Holy Ghost. I want to bless you. I want to turn you around. I want to show you the right path. Just live for me. Give me your life, and in turn, I'll bless you beyond all you could ever imagine, not just in this life, in the life to come. But just as it was on the day of Pentecost when the Apostle Peter stood up and declared the plan of salvation to those who gathered together before him, today God, in his love for you, is seeking to lead you to that same place of either repentance, salvation, or renewal. Let's stand. Isaiah 28:12 says, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. I don't know about you, but I felt beautiful, fantastic, and great ever since this service began. Every day it's the voice of God that calls out to the blood-bought, to the blood-washed, to those who have been born again in water and spirit. Every day to the searching, to the hungry, to the hurting, to those who want hope, God's calling to you. Can you hear him? Can you hear him today? As the service closes, as I open this altar to you to come, I'm inviting you to come. There is a healer in the house. Today you can access all that is within your Father's kingdom. He said it's his pleasure to give us the kingdom. Why don't you come and dine? The Master's calling you. Come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table anytime. Why don't you find somebody to pray with, or maybe somebody my helping hand. Let me lead you to where I found God. Why don't you close your eyes and be right where you are? And just begin to talk to God.